I want to ask you a question as we begin our lesson this morning, and something for you to think about. Do you know anybody who's lost? You know anybody who's lost? And if you know anybody who's lost, do they know that they're lost? You know, most folks who are lost don't know that they're lost. And so because they don't know that they're lost, they go through life seeking all sorts of things, seeking all sorts of material gain and material wealth and seeking all the things of the world because they think that's what the world is all about. They think that's what life is all about because they don't know any different. In Acts chapter 3, and I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, there was a man who was lost. And do you know what he was seeking? He was seeking things of the world. He was seeking earthly, material things. And so he's laid there at the temple gate in Acts chapter 3. And when Peter and John, when the two apostles come by, what is he seeking from them in Acts chapter 3 and verse 3? He's asking them for alms. He's asking them for money. He's there to gain whatever material things that he can gain. Why? Because he doesn't know any different. The end of verse 5, look at the end of verse 5. After he asked them for these material things, at the end of verse 5, he waited there expecting to receive something from them. A lot of people, even today, go through life that way. They go through life looking for things, expecting to receive things. You know, one of the more common messages that is preached from pulpits today, one of the more common messages that is preached on the religious television today is the concept of the health and wealth gospel, or sometimes called the prosperity gospel. And somebody says, well, what's that? That's when the preacher says to those who are listening, if you will listen to me, if you'll do what I say, and if you will send me money, then you will become wealthy. Then you will become prosperous if you'll just listen to me and to send me money. It's the health and wealth gospel. It's the prosperity gospel. And so guess what? People like that. They like to hear, oh, I'll get something out of this. And so they expect when they send something that they will get something. I want you to look carefully at what Peter said in Acts chapter 3 to this man who asked him for something. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none. Peter has an opportunity to share something with this man that was better than any earthly gain that he could give him. He has an opportunity to share with this man something better than silver or gold could ever buy for him, but it's not something that this man ever understood. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. And on this occasion, this man's life was changed in a way that he did not ever expect to have it changed. As you go through life, are there people who are looking for things? As you go through your day, are there lost individuals around you who are seeking to continue to amass more and more things? Is there something that you have that is more valuable than anything of this earth that they will ever attain? Such as I have, I give unto thee. I want us this morning to start a discussion about some things that we have, and we'll finish it next week. There's no way to get all of this in one lesson. But are there some things that you have as a Christian that others in this world need? Such as I have, I give unto you. What is it that your neighbor needs? What does your neighbor need? And you might think, well, he needs a new car. He needs a new guy doing his lawn maintenance. That's what he needs. He needs a new attitude adjustment. That's what he needs. What is it that your neighbor needs? Remember last week's lesson. Last week we defined how the Bible defines neighbor. When we think neighbor, we just think the person living next to, on this side, person living on this side, person living across the street. But that's not how the Bible defines neighbor. When the Bible teaches us to love our neighbor as ourself, it's not just talking about where somebody lives in a house near us. It's talking about any individual that we come into contact with in our life. Question is, what do they need? What do you have that you can give unto them? I want to share just a couple things this morning. And if you think of others after this lesson this morning, share them with me and I'll see if we can fit them in to next week's lesson to think about things that we have that others need. You know what we have? You know what we have that they need? We have good news. Our world is full of bad news. Have you noticed that? Our world is full of bad news. Our world feasts on bad news. It's not just that the world is full of bad news. Why is the world full of bad news? Because people are feasting on bad news. Why are people feasting on bad news? Because our world is full of bad news. Do you see the vicious cycle that that gets into? People are feasting on bad news because sometimes that's what they prefer. They're feasting on bad news because, well, that's sometimes what they expect. When you turn on the news in the morning or when you check your news app in the morning, what are you expecting to see? Bad news. That's what the world is full of. And while our world is full of bad news and is feasting on it and sometimes favors it and figures that's what's going to come, guess what we've got? We've got the best news in the world. We've got the news about Jesus Christ. And for some of you, you've known that news for a long time. And so for some of you, you might think, well, that's old news. That news never gets old. That news renews itself every single day. When we are reminded of what Jesus did for us, when we are reminded that Jesus came and lived on this earth for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 says, though he was rich, think about how rich Jesus was, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Jesus came and lived for me. That's why he came to this earth. Philippians 2 and verse 5, beginning of verse 5, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being existing in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, to be held on to. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he came to this earth, and verse 7 says, he made himself of no reputation. God took on the form of a bondservant, and he came in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of man, verse 8 says, he humbled himself. Why did he do that? He did that for you. He did that for me. The best news on earth is that he came and lived for me. But it gets better than that. He not only came and lived for me, he came and died for me. The rest of Philippians 2 and verse 8 says that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, everybody's going to die. Have you noticed that? Everybody's going to die. With the exception of Enoch and Elijah, everybody is going to die. You might think that you can journey into some Star Wars world and all of a sudden you're going to escape death, but that's not the way it works. Everybody's going to die. So when Jesus comes, you just expect he's going to be like everybody else, right? He's going to die because everybody dies. But that's not what happened. Jesus was put to death. His life was taken from him. He was nailed to that cross for me and for you. He didn't do that for his sins because he didn't have any. He did it for my sins and he did it for your sins. He came, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 says, because of the love of God to send his only begotten Son that we might live through him. He came and lived for me. He came and died for me. And Jesus came and opened the way to heaven for me. The door to heaven before Jesus came, and if Jesus did not come, the door to heaven to you was shut. Jesus hadn't come, you weren't going to heaven. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how smart you are. That door to heaven was shut until Jesus came, lived for me, died for me, and opened that door for me, opened a new and living way, the Hebrews writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 10, for me to go to heaven. Do we not have the best news to offer to people? And that news ought to be of first importance, not of secondary importance, it's of some importance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, I delivered to you of first importance. This is the best thing I could have told you. When I got to town, I didn't share with you the football scores that I read about in the paper before. When I got to town, I didn't share with you the latest gossip that I found out from these. No, when I got to town, the first thing I told you about was the most important thing I could tell you about, and that's Jesus Christ. We get involved in all sorts of conversations with our neighbors, not the people just living next door to us, but the people we come in contact with. We will talk about everything in the world, but do we talk about what's of first importance? We've got the best news to share with them. We've got something that can change their bad news day into a great news day if we'll let them know what it is. Such as I have, I give unto you. I need to always be ready. No matter what the conversation is, no matter what the situation is, I need to always be ready to share the good news. I don't ever need to be ashamed. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the what? The gospel of Christ. What's the gospel? What does that mean? The good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ. What other good news have you ever been ashamed of? You ever been ashamed of good news? Well, my football team won. I'm kind of ashamed. What? You're never ashamed that your football team won. You shouted it on the mountaintops, my football team won. I'm kind of ashamed. I've got another grandkid. You know, it's the prettiest little grandkid in the world, but I'm ashamed. You're not ashamed of your grandchildren. You shout it out. You show it to everybody. What other good news are we ashamed of? Not any in the world. Why should we be ashamed of the greatest news on earth? You know what my neighbor needs? You know what everybody I come in contact needs? They need to hear the gospel. They need what I have. Such as I have, I give unto you. You and I have the greatest thing to share with them. And we can talk about all sorts of things. But until we share with them what Jesus has done for us, we haven't talked about the most important thing. Our world feasts on bad news. We sing a song that talks about that, don't we? It says, while we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. But did He not also die for these lost ones? Here they are living in a lost world. And we've got the best news on earth for them. But you know, I not only have good news. What else can I share with them? When I read the Bible, I pick it up, I understand that as a Christian, I have the church. And it's not that I can give somebody the church, not that I can do that, but I can tell them about the church. I can point them the way to the church. And somebody says, what difference does that make? I want you to think about, was there anybody in the Bible who pointed people to the church? Is there anybody in the New Testament that talked about the church? And I don't even have these up here, but did the Old Testament ever talk about the church? Were there any prophets who ever talked about the church all throughout the Old Testament? They talked about that coming church, that coming kingdom. They were pointing the way. And then John the Baptist comes into the world, and John the Baptist says, repent for the church. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, it's right here. It's coming into our lives. And Jesus preached the same thing in Matthew 4 and verse 17. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went around preaching. Think about this. Matthew 4 and verse 23 and Matthew 9 and verse 35 says that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. hang on a second. What does the gospel mean? What does the word gospel mean? Good news. What did Jesus go around preaching? He went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He went around preaching the good news of the kingdom of the church. It's not just take it or leave it kind of thing. Here's the greatest thing on earth, and he says, you can be a part of it. He sent out his 12 apostles to preach what? The kingdom. He sent out his 70 disciples to do what? To preach the kingdom. And you read through the book of Acts, and what were those early Christians doing? Preaching about the church. Everywhere they went, they preached about the church. Somebody says, well, hang on a second. We just got done talking about the good news of Jesus, and now we're talking about preaching about the church. Those seem like two different things. You cannot preach one without the other. You cannot share one without sharing the other in a biblical sense. Because if I'm going to share good news, if I'm going to say, such as I have, I give unto you, I've got good news. If I'm going to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, then I cannot but share with them the good news that I found the church that is talked about in the New Testament. I found the body of Christ that is talked about in the New Testament. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says there's just one, that there is one body. Whose body is that? Whose body is the church? It's the body of Christ. And so if I go and share the good news of Christ, what must I also share the good news of? His body. If I'm going to share the good news of Jesus, am I only going to talk about his head? Or am I going to talk about all of him? I got to talk about his church. I get to share with others that I found the church that was established in the New Testament and is detailed throughout the New Testament. I just pick it up and read it. I can share with others that I found the church of the New Testament that is following the pattern that was laid out in the New Testament. That's not following some man-made doctrine, but is just going back and is following the pattern that has been laid out in the New Testament for the church to follow. Is there some other pattern to follow? Is there some other teaching that we ought to follow other than the pattern that God gives us in Scripture? We can tell others, I found the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. Not a church that was started by just some man, but the church that was started by the man, Jesus Christ. I have found the church that Jesus loves. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 tells husbands to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. You can tell somebody, I found the church that Jesus loved, gave himself for. I have found the church that Jesus is going to return one of these days and take back to heaven with him. Somebody says, how do you know that's the church? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 talks about the fact, he says, we have come to the church of the firstborn. We've come to the general assembly. We've come to the church of the firstborn. And notice what he says about those who are in the church in Hebrews 12 and verse 23. Who are registered in heaven. Who's registered in heaven? According to the Bible. According to Hebrews 12 and verse 23, those who are registered in heaven are those who are in the church that belongs to Jesus. And I've got an opportunity to point others to that church. To let others know that I have found that church. That is what my neighbor needs. My neighbor is going to wake up. My neighbor is going to open the newspaper. If they still get the newspaper, they're going to turn on television news. If that's what they do. They're going to turn on their news app, and they're going to see the news of the day, and they might get depressed. Have you ever gotten depressed when you listen to the news that's around us? You ever gotten depressed? My neighbor might get depressed. Is there something I could help them out with? In a one-verse parable. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, you want to know what the church is like? You want to know what the kingdom's like? He said, the church is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. What did he do when he found this treasure? He said, I want that treasure. What's the treasure in this parable? It's the church. He said, I want this treasure. And so he hid it so that nobody else could find it. And listen, look in Matthew 13 and verse 44. The Bible says, and for joy over it. For what? For joy over it. He went and sold all that he had so that he could buy that treasure. Joy? That's what the kingdom is. That's what the church is. It brings good news. It is good news. It brings joy to ones who find it, Matthew 13 and verse 44, and it's what your neighbor needs to find. And you've got it. You've got the pathway to tell them how to find that church. Such as I have, I give unto you. My neighbor needs the good news that I have. My neighbor needs the church that I have found. My neighbor needs the salvation that I have found. When you pick up and read this book, the whole purpose of this book is so that you and I might be saved. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. There's a lot in this book. There's a lot of information that God conveys in this book. The whole purpose of this book is so that you and I can be saved. We can't give our salvation to somebody else. Don't you wish we could sometimes? We can't give our salvation to somebody else, but I can tell them how they can secure it for themselves. I can tell them what they need to do in order to be saved, and I need to be eager to tell them about it. Have you ever found a deal? Have you ever saved money on something before and you told people about it? Maybe you didn't because you wanted to keep it all to yourself. Did you ever find a bargain and you told everybody about it? Look, I saved this. Here is the best salvation that's ever going to exist on this earth, and it's salvation from my sins. I ought to be eager to tell others about it. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, it says that Philip ran to tell the Ethiopian about it. Was that because he was running late? Or was it because he was eager to tell this man the good news that he had found about salvation? We need to be eager to tell people, here's what you need to do in order to be saved. And it's not that complicated. Is God's plan of salvation difficult to understand? Is it difficult to figure out? You know, the beauty of the Bible is its purpose is to teach us how to be saved. And when it's teaching us how to be saved, it lays it out as clear as can be. I need to share with my neighbors simply what Jesus did for them and why He did it. That's what my neighbors need to know. They need to know what Jesus came and did for them and why He did it. And they need to know what Jesus expects of them and why He expects it. These little bookmarks that we keep out there underneath the track rack on that table are one of the best things I think we've ever put together. So simple. These little bookmarks on one side say, here's what Jesus did for us. What did Jesus do for us? He created you. He came to this earth for you. He died on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He was raised from the dead for you. Well, why did He do that? Because He loves you, He wants to save you, and He wants to take you to heaven. And all the Bible verses that would teach those things. If you can't remember it, give it to them. And on the back side it says, what Jesus expects of you. Jesus expects you to learn and to know the truth, to obey the will of God, to follow His plan of salvation. And why does He want you to do that? So that you can prove your love for Him, so that you can be saved from your sins, so that you can go to heaven. And all the verses from the Bible that would teach that to be the case. Our neighbors need to know that this salvation is free, that God's gift of salvation is open unto all. And they simply need to know what God wants them to do and to obey what Jesus has said to do. It's not something that we ought to look like it, you know, we're being forced to do or that's complicated. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, this is love. What's love? This is love. 1 John 5 and verse 3. What's love? This is love, that we keep His commandments. If I love God, I will keep His commandments. And then the rest of the verse says, and His commandments are not burdensome. That means I can do them. That means anybody can do them. And when I do them, I secure the salvation that this book has talked about to tell me how to get rid of my sins and to get right with God. Peter and John were going into the temple, and this lost man said, what can you give me? What earthly thing can you give me? And they said, we don't have any earthly thing of any value to give you. But such as I have, I give unto you. Something even better than what you might expect. Do we not have something that everybody needs? The good news. The church. Salvation. And we've got the resources available to us to be able to share those things with them. Did not Paul himself use resources? Think about the resources that Paul used. He wrote letters to individuals to tell them what they needed to do. Can we write letters? Paul wrote, he wrote inspired letters. Can we write down information for individuals? And then Paul told individuals, you need to read this other thing that has been, this other letter that I wrote. He's utilizing things. He utilized books. He may have loaned out certain books for people to read. He utilized preachers. He utilized friends. Hey, can you teach this person the gospel for me? He had resources. He used resources. Do we have resources? I think one of the greatest resources we have is our website. I firmly believe that it is one of the best websites out there for content. It's easily navigated, but the content, you can find anything on that website to share with somebody else on any topic. You can go to the Apologetics Press website. You can go to Christian Courier website. There's all sorts of good, sound, solid material that you can share with others. How often do we put materials out in the lobby? The track rack is always full. There are things at our disposal. There are resources that can make it super easy for us to share the good news, to share the church, to share salvation. What does your neighbor need? Our theme for the month of October is stronger than ever in my relationship with my neighbor. The best thing that we can do in order to increase and to improve our relationship with our neighbor is to help them to come to know Jesus. Next week, part two of this, if you've got some ideas of some things that we have, such as I have, I give unto you, give unto my neighbor, share them with me and I'll see if we can fit them in to next week's sermon. Do you have the salvation that's offered by Jesus Christ? Not the salvation that's offered by some religious group out there. Not the salvation that's offered by some man-made group or some man-made doctrine. Do you have the salvation that is offered by Jesus in the Bible? The very reason that He came and died on the cross was so that you could be saved. The only way you can have that salvation is to do what the Bible teaches us to do. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Recognize He came and lived for me, but He lived a sinless life for me. He never committed any sin. Died on that cross for my sins. He was buried in that tomb. But on the third day, He was raised again. Do you believe that with all of your heart? That faith in what He did for your sins ought to cause you to turn away from your sins, to change your mind about your sins. Repent of your sins and turn your life in the direction of God. It says, I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. If you're ready today to make that decision, you can do what they did in the New Testament and confess the faith that's in your heart. And this very day, you can be baptized into Christ. It's what every single person in the New Testament did in order to be saved, in order to become a Christian. In Acts chapter 2, when those lost individuals there said, what shall we do? Peter did not say, oh, you're already saved. You don't need to do anything. He said, in order to be saved from your sins, you need to repent and you need to be baptized. That same answer 2,000 years later is what you need to do today. Repent and be baptized. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins. Allow God to add you to His church, to register your name in heaven because you are a part of His church. And from this day forward, to live faithfully to Him. Are you a Christian today? Are you a New Testament Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian today? Do you have the salvation that Jesus offers in this book? If it's not yours today, will you get your life right with Him? The song we're about to sing talks about the day of judgment. Someday we're going to stand there before Jesus on the day of judgment. Will you be ready for that day? What will your answer be when you're there? If you're not ready for that day, will you not come right now as together we stand and sing?